suspect that there's lots of kind of topics that evoke very strong opinions in people. And this week there was one kind of topic that was once again in the headlines, the question of artificial intelligence, the large learning model systems that DeepSeek was the new kid on the block, and that caused all kinds of consternations in share markets, everything else. One of the things, the Vatican brought out a document. Two of the dicasteries co-authored this note, even though it's a 30-page, 14,000-word note on Antiqua et Nova, the old and the new, drawing from the Gospel of Matthew. But looking at the relationship between human intelligence and artificial intelligence, and it wasn't a negative kind of approach to the question. Actually, the Vatican has been kind of one of the leading edges, and many of the big software companies kind of have a relationship with the ethicists and the people in those different Vatican departments that kind of help us to make sense of how do we kind of navigate through all of this. I'm sure the teachers here have very firm opinions about the validity of certain models and whether they're actually helpful in an educational environment or not. There's, it's almost every gadget that we buy now or every new thing that comes out has AI kind of embedded in it as part of the feature set. And it can be somewhat frightening, somewhat disturbing when you really ask that question of, well, how do I know what's real? How do I know what is an actual encounter? What's an actual experience? And one of the questions is, well, how much of this is being influenced by the big kids on the block, by the billionaires that continue to make waves and continue to kind of set the direction and the guidance for so much of this that kind of calls it into question, well, how do we respond? And I think the gospel kind of offers us another perspective on this, because it isn't the significant characters. As we have said, Simeon and Anna weren't great heroes. No one probably outside of their immediate context would ever have heard they weren't influencers. They didn't have great social media profiles. They weren't kind of filming themselves and offering opinions about anything. But we've all met Simeon and Anna. We've all met people like that. And I'm sure the way is great at cultivating this kind of sense of this engagement, this vulnerability, this humility that simply sees that in the dedication of prayer, that in the act of service, of going to the temple, of being people that continue to offer their hearts and lives in service, that there's something so powerful about that. And Simeon and Anna become for us a model of what it means to actually dedicate ourselves to God. The Jesus, yes, was presented in fulfillment of the law. And I'm sure you're very familiar with what the Old Testament basis for what they are doing when they go there on the 40th day. It's Leviticus 12, if you want to read about it later on. I'm sure you all know it by heart, because Leviticus is one of those texts that we love to take to prayer. It's so rich and powerful in its invocation of spiritual matters. But Leviticus sets down that if it's a male child who has been born, that if the male child has opened the womb of the woman, that there is this 7-day period first until she presents the child for circumcision at the temple, and then 33 days until she is then able to be purified and able to offer that worship. So that the presentation in the temple has two elements. It's that dedication of the child, but it's also the cleansing of the woman so that she's able to enter back into the life of the community, to be able to fully take part in the life. If it's a female child, then it's a 2-week period and then a 66-day period leading up to that full experience of purification. And we know from Leviticus 12:6 that the usual offering that is made on the presentation of a child, of a son, to buy him back, to be able to receive him back into the life of the family rather than leaving him there at the temple, was for a one-year-old lamb and your choice of the turtle dove or a pigeon. But Leviticus 12:8 gives the option, if you can't afford the lamb, that you are able to offer two birds instead. And so we're told that that's the offering that Mary and Joseph make, the offering for the poor, the offering of those who are struggling, the offering of those who aren't the influence. They haven't received a whole stream of wealth and money from TikTok and YouTube and everything else. That they're simply there struggling. So many of us that we know, so many who aren't the great influences of the world. And so they offer themselves, they offer the child, simply just doing what the law requires. It's interesting that Luke offers that phrase 8 times across the whole scope of his gospel, and 5 of them are here in this passage that we read tonight, verses 22 to 40, that he's calling us into this experience of what it means to actually be faithful to God. And we see then these two models, Simeon and Anna, become just great signs for us. You know, we can get that sense that there were very few people in Israel at the time who were actually faithful to God, that most of the system wasn't actually working for people. Most of the system wasn't encouraging an experience of holiness. Most of people weren't kind of engaged in prayer. And yet Simeon and Anna become for us a model of just what it is to simply be faithful to God, to live a life that is good, that is holy. We become kind of caught up in power and the possibility of hoping that we've, you know, see across this Jubilee year of hope. What happens when we give ourselves to God? What happens when we begin to simply do the next right thing, what the law of the Lord requires us to do? That it's not a dead and dry ritual, but this possibility of incredible encounter, that we can experience the wonder of God in and through this. And so how do we respond to this? What's the invitation in this for us? Well, to see that in those lives of those simple people who, you know, again, not the great powerful people, not the wealthy people, but somewhere in that, in simply doing what is right, in making that choice to serve the Lord, in making that choice to be faithful to God, that there's such a power in that. And that we're invited into that same encounter, that same experience of offering our hearts, offering our lives, as Paul would say, to let our whole lives be a spiritual sacrifice to the Lord. But it won't be easy, and it won't come without a cost. That, as we've heard, that a sword may pierce our own soul too. That in dedicating ourselves and being faithful to the law of the Lord, in allowing that grace and letting the Holy Spirit call us into those moments that just seem chance encounters but are actually predestined, and you know, that whole experience, that it's amazing how many things just coincidentally happen when we pray, you know, when we open ourselves, when we make ourselves available to the Lord. Amazingly, that there are these possibilities that open themselves up for us. So it's indeed take inspiration and encouragement from Simeon and Anna and all the people that we know that are faithfully doing what the law of the Lord asks of us. And let's indeed let the Holy Spirit do its work within us. Let's be open to that power. Let's allow the Lord to call us more deeply to present ourselves, to offer our hearts in service of God, and to be faithful in that by being available to those around us, by being available to those who might need that nudge of the Holy Spirit, and that somehow in a simple action that we say, in simple words that we might speak, in the prayers that we might pray, that transformation might indeed happen within the hearts and lives of those around us.